This podcast is brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short. You can find more podcasts and other resources on our website, www.acamh.org, and follow us on social media by searching ACAMH.
Hello, welcome to the In Conversation podcast series for the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, or ACAM for short. I'm Jo Carlo, a freelance journalist with a specialism in psychology. Today I'm interviewing PhD student Blandine French of the University of Nottingham. Blandine received a high commendation at the ACAM 2020 Awards and is currently researching ADHD awareness in primary care. If you're a fan of our In Conversation series, please subscribe on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform. Let us know how we did with the rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues. Blandine, thank you for joining me. Can you start with a brief introduction of who you are and what you do?
Yes, thank you. Thanks for having me, Jo. I'm Blandine, so I'm a PhD student at the University of Nottingham, as you said, and I'm a mum of two little ones. I have a lot of backgrounds with ADHD, as well as being a researcher. I also help parents and adults through peer support groups.
Do you mind telling me something about your personal journey with ADHD?
Yes, sure. So yes, on top of being a researcher and helping parents as well, I also have ADHD of inattentive type. I was diagnosed 10 years ago when I was 29, and when I moved to Australia, where ADHD is much better understood there. And getting a diagnosis really opened many doors for me, because once I understood what I struggled with, I could put things in place to change things, you know, to make my life easier. And I could consider going back to higher education. So after receiving a diagnosis, I did my bachelor's degree in childhood psychology, which led me to do the PhD now. And getting my diagnosis also led me to facilitate groups for adults and parents to support them through this really complex diagnosis journey.
I'm going to ask you a bit more later about your own experience of diagnosis, but your research that focuses on understanding GPs' awareness of attention deficit hyperactive disorder, ADHD, what did you find? Do GPs have a good awareness around developmental disorders such as ADHD?
In our research, we found that a lot of GPs didn't have an accurate awareness of developmental disorders such as ADHD. We found that developmental disorders are not part of the mandatory curriculum for GPs. So what happens is that a lot of GPs receive no training whatsoever by the time that they qualify. In our study, for instance, with over 150 GPs, 68% had received no training at all on developmental disorders. And developmental disorders are really complex and are really hard to identify in practice. You know, it's not like you can do a test, you know, a blood test, and it shows you exactly that you have autism or ADHD or dyspraxia. Mm-hmm. So it is really important that they are being trained to be able to spot the different symptoms and the different way it is expressed in practice.
I think, were you shocked to find that most GPs then have never been taught about developmental disorders?
I kind of expected it, because for years and years and years, I wasn't diagnosed. From my personal experience, you know, I wasn't picked up at all. When I received my diagnosis in Australia, I did wonder, why did I go under the radar for so many years? But I didn't really expect the extent to which they have no training, you know, how developmental disorders as a whole is, you know, is not compulsory, and it's just an additional training that some GPs might wish to take part in or not. Yes, I found that quite shocking.
What are the implications of that then, this lack of awareness within primary care? What are the implications for young people and their families?
Well, the implications are twofold, really. First of all, GPs are gatekeepers to specialist services. So without GPs recognizing the struggles and the difficulties that families or children experience, the patients or the children cannot get a referral on. So GPs don't have to diagnose ADHD. They don't have to know a lot about it, or you know, autism or dyspraxia, for instance. But they do need to have enough information to refer on. Otherwise, it is impossible for parents or children to receive a diagnosis and to access treatment and to access care. I mean, in some places, this sometimes can go through the school, and you know, it all differs depending on where you are in England. In most of the time, GPs are the gatekeeper to these services. So that has definitely a strong impact if they don't know how to recognize these disorders. And the second thing is that what's happened in the patients that we interviewed and the GPs and, you know, from our research, we show that a lot of parents and adult patients have to seek a diagnosis themselves. So, you know, they have to be struggling quite a lot and wondering, oh gosh, what's going on? You know, why is my child having so many difficulties, or why am I having so many difficulties? And starting looking it up online, then start by asking the GP, I think my son has an ADHD, could I get a referral? Mm-hmm. And this in itself has many implications, because it means that the families have to understand ADHD to seek a diagnosis. So for families or patients who do not have any awareness of developmental disorders, like I did, you know, when I grew up, I believed that ADHD was the very typical stereotype of the hyperactive boy bouncing off the wall. Sure. You know, I could never associate ADHD with my struggles. So if it means that I could only get a diagnosis by picking it up in myself first, then this is why I went undiagnosed for 30 years. If you try to put it into context of physical health, you know, if you had to wait until you identify yourself what's wrong with you, you know, like, I think I have a broken leg, can you refer me to hospital? And this is quite problematic.
If a child isn't picked up with, or the parents aren't aware of it, what might the child think is the matter?
Well, that's the thing, that usually children who are not identified with ADHD and parents tend to think that it's their fault. You know, the parents usually think that they're doing something wrong. It's questioning their parenting style. They don't really understand what's going on. And it's the same for the children. I mean, I remember as a child, I did not understand why I struggled with certain things while all my peers didn't seem to be struggling. And obviously, because there was no reason why I should be struggling, I just thought it was just me. I wasn't trying hard enough. I wasn't good enough. I was just lazy, you know, like there's loads of implication about how it affects a child to understand why they are different. And a label doesn't sort everything out, but it does help to explain that, you know, there are differences between how these children are. And
I mean, you've touched on this already, but why is early diagnosis and intervention so important for children and young people with developmental disorders? And I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about, if you don't get that support and it's not recognised, what might happen? And also, if you do get that support, when it all goes well, how much difference does it make?
Early diagnosis and access to care minimises future risks. And we know that patients with ADHD that are not supported or are not receiving treatment or are not diagnosed are at more chance of having depression or anxiety or losing their job or divorcing or having substance abuse. I mean, there are a lot of risks associated with unsupported ADHD, especially in later life. So the earlier we can put strategies in place to facilitate children and help them work with their difficulties, the more chance we have of lessening these risks later on in life. So there's no typical trajectory per se. Sometimes, you know, if you have the right support from your families, from your partners, this can make such a big difference and, you know, help you carry on and help you succeed despite all the other difficulties. However, from working with dozens and dozens of late diagnosed adults, I can tell you that there isn't one adult that said that they didn't wish they knew sooner. Sooner you know, the more opportunities open to you in terms of education and jobs and life coping strategies.
Nandine, let's return to your research. You've developed a psychoeducation online tool for understanding ADHD and the role of the GP in the diagnosis pathway. Can you tell us about this tool? How does it work?
This online tool is in the form of two modules. It takes about 40 minutes overall to watch both. And one is a general module about understanding ADHD, and the other one described the very specific role of the GPs. So as I mentioned before, GPs do not need to diagnose or treat ADHD per se. They just need to be able to identify it and refer on. So they need to understand, you know, the pathway process. And this is what the second module focuses on, exactly what do GPs need to do to facilitate this access to care. And the first one is more generic and is accessible for anyone really, you know, even teachers or parents. If you want to gain just a broad understanding of ADHD, you can just refer back to this, the first module. And this is why we did it like that, just so it was a lot more approachable for many different people. And it was co-developed with GPs. So, you know, we wanted to make sure that whatever we did was something that GPs wanted to engage with and had the right information, had the right format. And it included a lot of videos, both from patients talking about how ADHD affect them on a daily basis, but also from experts. So, you know, we have research experts, we have psychiatrists, but also we have a GP who has ADHD herself, who talks about how it affects her in a way that GPs can relate to.
Do you have a link that you can share for listeners who want to access the tool?
Yes, absolutely. It's www.adhdinfo.org.uk.
In a randomised control trial, you evaluated the efficiency of this learning tool. What did the trial find?
So we found that all the GPs that watch our training improve their knowledge about ADHD, and it reduced their misconceptions. So the online tool aimed to both increase accurate knowledge and reduce the, you know, the common stigmas around ADHD. And we found that it actually did that. It also improved their confidence. So we asked GPs how confident they were around dealing with ADHD. Oh. And we found that their confidence significantly improved. And for me, the main finding is that it changed their attitude and their practice. So we interviewed GPs after taking part in a randomized control trial. And most of them said that they look at ADHD very differently. They have different attitudes, and they have already referred on people that they probably wouldn't have picked up before taking part in our study, which was great to hear.
What were the common misperceptions then that GPs had, and what kind of things were they missing before?
So a lot of GPs thought, for instance, that ADHD was caused by bad parenting. Some GPs thought that it could be controlled, that it's something that a child, you know, it was just a behavioral problem, and with the right parenting style, it could be sorted. You know, some GPs also still believe that it can outgrow ADHD and that adults don't get it. So these kinds of misconceptions were still present, not as much as I expected, to be honest, but they were still there. People in general can have a very negative views of ADHD. Somehow the ADHD label has a really negative connotations. And
what about the more subtle clues, if you like, that somebody had ADHD? What kind of things were they missing?
So, for example, a lot of adults who struggle with ADHD when they haven't been diagnosed will come to the GP with symptoms of depression and anxiety. So what we know is that untreated ADHD, by the time you reach adulthood, there's so much anxiety by the way, trying to understand the way you are different, trying to cope with your difficulties without knowing what it actually is. So very often adults will come to the GPs feeling very down, just really struggling for many reasons. and they would be put on antidepressants or receive CBT. And, you know, this is what often GPs will experience. However, we know that these are consequence of having untreated or undiagnosed ADHD. These are the most subtle cues that GPs will have experienced and patients will have experienced.
What are the plans for the online psychoeducation tool? Is it being rolled out nationwide?
So the study was nationwide. So GPs from all over the country took part in our studies. The psychoeducation tool has been endorsed by the Royal College of GPs. So it's available in their mental health toolkit training program. And it is free to access. So anyone can access it and use it as much or as little as they want. There isn't a, you know, rolling out process per se. It's very difficult to reach out to all the GPs in this way. So it's available and they can access it, but we can't really roll it out.
Plantin, what else needs to be done to improve awareness among primary care professionals in order to better support young people with developmental disorders and their families?
So we found that targeting training really worked. I mean, it makes sense that if GPs did not receive training during their education, their GP training program, then having any form of training is better. But the way we developed our intervention, which was, you know, co-produced with GPs and targeted at exactly what they needed to know. There was not any extra information that they didn't need. And it was just really tailored to GPs' need. We found that it worked really well. So we're looking into doing more. GPs and GPs have asked, when we've asked for feedback on the intervention, GPs have said, you know, have you got anything else? Have you got some autism? Have you got someone, you know, other disorders? There is a strong need for that. So we are trying to carry on developing similar intervention with other mental health difficulties and developmental disorders. Because for the GPs, understanding their role and understanding exactly what they need to do has a very strong impact. And we found that GPs, once they knew that their role was just in identification and in supporting, that, you know, nobody expected them to diagnose and to understand ADHD in depth, then it seemed a lot more accessible for them. Finally, I mean, what would be fantastic would be that developmental disorders will be part of the GP curriculum. Ultimately, this is what will improve awareness and facilitate support for families.
Are you optimistic that that will happen?
You know, I'm trying to make it happen. I don't know how. It's a very complex, obviously, it's quite difficult. You know, you can't just turn around and say, oh, can you please put that on the curriculum? But, you know, ultimately, I would like to carry on working in this field and make a case for the importance of including developmental disorders as part of the training, you know, and for it to be compulsory. I can only try. I don't know if it will happen. And I am hopeful and I can try. I will do my best, but we'll see if that happens or not.
Oh, it sounds really important. You may have already partially answered this question, but I was going to ask you what other research projects are coming up for you.
So I will be starting work on the project supporting parents after ADHD referrals. So what we know is that there's often quite a long wait because of, you know, services sometimes struggle. Once the GP refer on to secondary care services, parents can wait quite a few months sometimes. So we are developing an app to support parents while they are waiting for diagnosis and treatment. I am putting together a grant application to assess the economic cost of untreated and unsupported developmental disorders. And this is to establish and make a strong case for putting developmental disorders on the curriculum, you know, and commissioning these services better. I would also like in parallel to develop more training programs, as I mentioned, for the mental health conditions.
Finally, Blandine, what is your takeaway message for those listening to our conversation?
For me, knowledge is power. You know, from a personal as well as a professional point of view, understanding what you're dealing with is very important. And once you know what your difficulties are. You can put things in place. You can accommodate things around your difficulties, make changes, minimize stigmas. The more you understand about a condition, the better equipped you are, as I say, both from an individual and a professional point of view. So yes, that's my take home message. If you don't know, you think you know, but you're not too sure about a disorder or a condition. You know, a lot of people think they know what autism looks like, they know what ADHD looks like, but actually getting the accurate knowledge can change people's life. And I'm an example of that.
Thank you so much. For more details on Blandine French, please visit the ACAM website, www.acam.org, and Twitter at ACAM. ACAM is spelled A-C-A-M-H. And don't forget to follow us on iTunes or your preferred streaming platform. Let us know if you enjoyed the podcast with a rating or review, and do share with friends and colleagues.
This podcast was brought to you by the Association for Child and Adolescent Mental Health, ACAM for short.